This is the third class in a series on unlocking the Agadah, the life and legacy of the sages. At the end of Parshas Noach, we have the story of the Migdal Bavel, the building of this grand and huge tower, which eventually was a project that came to an end. We're told in the Torah that this project was of immense proportions. All of society was involved. One unified goal, as the Torah teaches, one voice, one people, all working together on the building of this Migdal. It's a fascinating midrash in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, an Agadah, that teaches the following. Rabbi Pinchas Omer, Rabbi Pinchas teaches, Lo hayu sham avanim livnos es ha'ir ves ha'migdal. There were no readily available building materials, bricks, to build this tower. Uma hayu osin, what did the people do? Hayu milabnim levenim v'sorfim otam ki yotzer cheresh. They would take bricks, material, form it into bricks, put it through an oven, a fire, to form the bricks, until they built up this tower, Keshiva Milin, 7 milin tall, Ikane Malat Malos Hayu Loba Mizracho Maravo. There was a staircase on either side of the tower, on the west side, on the east side, and on the west side. The Midrash goes on to describe the process of the building. Ve'elu Shayu Malu Malin Levenim Hayu Olin. The ones who were bringing the bricks up to lay them on the top, higher parts of the tower, would go up the eastern staircase. And when they were finished dropping their bricks off, they would bring the bricks down the western staircase. And if a person would fall and die, nobody would pay attention to the person who had fallen to their death. V'im nafla leveina, but if a brick would fall, hayu yoshvinu bochin, they would sit and they would cry. V'omrin, and they would say, matai taleh acher tachta, when will another brick be brought up in its place? Oh no, we lost a brick. The Midrash goes on to explain a very interesting end to the story. V'avar Avraham ben Terach v'ra'ah otam bonim et ha'ir v'et ha'migdal. Avraham ben Terach, who was alive at the time, was passing by this sight of corruption, of people who were crying over the loss of a brick, but paying no attention to the death of a human being. And he cursed this gathering, this group, B'Shem Elohim, in the name of God. As the Torah states in the end of the Parsha, Shenamar Bala Peleg Lishonam, that their languages were mixed up, that they were unable to communicate with each other, and because of this inability to communicate, the project came to an immediate halt. As opposed to maybe the way that the Torah describes the discombobulation of languages, the mixing up of the ability to communicate, here the Midrash is describing it as Avraham's reaction to seeing this utter corruption. Now what's interesting in this Midrash, and what's shocking, and this is pointed out by the Netziv on the Torah and other commentaries, that we shouldn't be fooled by the unity of society at this time. Yes, on the one hand, they were all working towards a common goal. They all were in it together, working together. Except that the whole underlying means to the end, which was to build this tower, was entirely corrupt. For we see that the people would be upset over the loss of a brick. But when it came to a person, a human being, it's no matter. It's no matter, we can replace them. But a brick, we have to start again. We have to walk all the way up the tower. What a terrible thing. There's a parallel passage in the Gemara Maseches Yoma. The Gemara teaches Mishnah rather teaches that in the early times of the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim would wake up early in the morning to run and be zocha and merit to work the special jobs of the temple service each day. This would go on for years. Every day the gates would open up and the Kohanim would have a race to the finish line. Whoever reached the top of the Mizbeach first would be awarded with the special avoda, the special temple service of the day. So the Gemara tells one story about two Kohanim who were running, and one of the Kohanim pushed his fellow Kohen off of the ramp and he broke his leg. You can imagine that there was some discussion at that point, should we change the process? Maybe it's a little bit dangerous. But they continued on until one incident that altered the entire process for the rest of the time that there was a temple standing. The Gemara teaches Tan Rabbanan Masa b'shnei Kohanim Shayu shnehem shavin v'ratzin v'olim b'kevesh. They were running up and they were at neck and neck, equal pace going up the ramp. Kadam echad mehen l'toch arba amot shechavero. One went into the other person's space, trying to push his way and get ahead. Natal sakin v'takalo b'libo. So he took out a knife and he stabbed the other one in the heart. Amar Rabbi Tzadok o ma'alora ulam ve'amar Rabbi Tzadok stood up. And the Gemara goes on to say Rabbi Tzadok started to scream. And then an amazing thing happens. You would imagine that the only thing on people's minds right now would be, save this person. There's a knife in his heart. He's about to die. He's about to bleed to death from the wound in his heart. Ba aviv shel tinok mitzaok shumefarper. The father comes and he sees that his son, who has a knife in his heart, he's still alive. He still has life in him. Amar. He said, harehu kaparachem badayim b'ni mefarper v'lo nitma'a sakin. A very, very strange comment. He says, he will be like an atonement for the people. But he's still alive, so take out the knife. Take out the knife from his heart. Because the halacha is, in order for a vessel, a metal object, to attain a status of tum'ah, of defilement and impurity, it needs to come into direct contact with another source of tum'ah. And a dead body, which is the avi avot, the highest level of tum'ah, until that body is officially a dead corpse, it cannot convey tum'ah to another item, to another vessel. So the father was screaming, take the knife out of his heart, because as long as he's still alive, the knife can't become tameh. And the passage, the Agadah concludes, l'lamercha, to teach us, shekashe aleihem tahara kelim, yoter mishvichut tamim. A backwards corruption of morals, what was more important to them was that the knife shouldn't become tameh than that a murder should take place in the man's own son. A very, very shocking story of the Talmud, and the result, the Gemara teaches, was a cancellation of this policy of allowing the Kohanim to run. They noticed that it became extremely dangerous, and they concluded that the new method would be a much tamer version of choosing the Kohen who would work the Avodah through a lottery. These two stories are really one and the same. Do the means justify the end? When the means include corruption, harming others, breaking apart relationships, perhaps you build that tower at the end. Perhaps you make sure that you get to the top of the Mizbeach and you get to work the Avodah, the Beit HaMikdash. But if someone's getting harmed along the way, was the means really justified? Was the journey really a worthwhile journey? Sometimes in life, we don't appreciate, we don't realize that when we're trying to accomplish certain goals, certain pursuits to get the best grade, to get the right job, to get into the right relationship, to say the right thing, to do the right thing. We want to accomplish certain things. Score the winning basket, etc. Find that goal, which it is, and ask yourself, am I harming anybody along the way in trying to attain this goal and trying to reach this goal? The message of the building of Migdal Bavel, that the people were more concerned with the brick that fell than the human being that fell, shows us that they couldn't care less about how they got there, as long as they got there, as long as they attained their goal, which was building the tower. This Agadah is teaching us a very deep message, which is that if the means isn't justified, the journey that you're taking, the way that you're getting to attain your goal, if it's corrupt, then maybe the journey wasn't really an appropriate journey to begin with. We need to look into our own lives, into the journeys that we go on, and ask ourselves this critical question: am I harming anybody along the way? Am I ruining any friendships or relationships? And if we are, we have to figure out a way to make sure that in attaining the goals that we're trying to accomplish in our lives, we don't trample on any other people.